episode 2703, So Happy Together.
It's time to train for life and love your journey. In this episode of Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie, you'll learn new ways to rediscover, rejuvenate, and renew your mind, body, and spirit. Please welcome your host, certified life coach, personal trainer, and nutritionist, Christiane Wargo. Staring at a stop sign,
watching people drive by. Happy every day. You know, I just want you to know that sometimes it's good to feel a little old. And I'm talking about old songs. Yes, you know the song, Me and You. And you and me. Okay, I'll stop there. Yes, because you don't want to hear me sing, but you got this. It's Relationship Builders, all about marriage. So happy together. For those of you who are brand new to Create You Now, welcome to this incredible family. I'm so delighted of your presence. If you already haven't had the opportunity, you'll want to head on over to createyournow.com where you can learn more and sign up for the Kisses newsletter, the Keep It Simple strategy, everyday solutions to live, love, and impact. Well, this episode is brought to you by the AIM Academy. When you fell in love with your spouse, was it for a moment or forever? Love is not about being right or getting your way, but about being so happy together in life. I know, I had to sing it. It's just in my mind. This is just one thing that makes up love, though. We got to understand that, right? We're not saying that this is the only way that you show love or that you do love. This isn't the one and only. Our feelings and dreams, right, of being with the one you love, so happy together, that's what does count in the manner of, okay, I want to feel this all the time. But in order to feel it, you have to be willing to live it. Because who thinks about not being happy, but in love, right? That's all backward. How do you shape your marriage to be so happy together? We're not ones who are going into a relationship going, yeah, I like this girl, but you know what? I don't want to like her in 6 weeks, but I'm going to marry her even though I'm not going to like her. Yeah, doesn't make sense, right? It kind of boggles your mind. And then I think about, I was listening to a gentleman who said that actually the bacteria on your skin, now I'm serious, don't sit here and turn me off, just listen, that the bacteria on your skin actually chose your partner. I know. Isn't that kind of crazy? Well, that's for another episode, but it is very interesting. And so as I'm learning, leaning in, trying to do things better, not just for myself, but more so for my spouse, we have to be willing to look at our marriage and say, what can I do? What can I do? Not what is my spouse doing? Come on, hubby, what are you doing? What are you doing to make me happy? Okay, if I led with that every single day, do you think he's going to want to stay married to me? No. Now, do I have kind of quote unquote a right to be served and to be loved? Of course, but doesn't your spouse also? And that's the key here. So how do you shape your marriage to be so happy together? You have to fight for your right to love someone. That is your Kiss to Keep It Simple strategy. I told you we were going to have fun. Fight for your right to love, L-O-V-E, someone. Now, this someone is specifically referring to your spouse. I don't want you to think about your mom. I don't want to think about your children. This is all about your spouse. And if you're not married, then it's your sweetheart, whoever you're dating, your partner, et cetera, at this time in your life. Now, hopefully, you're one who said, you know what? I'm committed. Life isn't easy. My husband and I, we did not have an easy marriage. And I would say we're better off now than we were mid-marriage. We're coming up on 29 years of being married. We've been together almost 32 and a half years. That's crazy. But it's incredible too. And the thing is, life is not easy just because you think, oh, it's always going to be rainbows and roses. It's not. You have bills to pay. You have children to take care of. You have dogs or cats. You have parents. Right? We have generations now that are caring for their parents and also caring for their children. It's hard. And some of the generations are not only caring for their children, but their grandchildren. So where you are in your season, I pray you're looking at your relationship as not a way to get out, but to fight for your right to love. You get to love. Now, when you look at this, it's not about being loved, right? It's not about what you get, but by loving. Because there is a difference. One comes with a servant's heart, while the other one comes with a selfish heart. Which one do you claim? That's a hard one. Because, you know, you might be one who flip-flops between the two. And in some cases, that is completely normal. Yet, you will have a tendency to lean one way or the other. So I really want you to look at this honestly. You don't have to sit there and go on a mountaintop and say, guess what? This is how I love. I am so selfish. Now, if you want to, that's fine. And you also don't need to go and say, you know what? I am the best one to serve my spouse. I have a servant's heart. I give and I give and I give. Yeah, don't get your ego caught either. So either way you look at it, it's just about being honest with where you are. Because ultimately, right, what I want you to keep in mind is, let's fight for your right to love. And I want to break it down as to L-O-V-E. Number one, L is for love. Love graciously and unconditionally. If you want to be so happy together forever, your love cannot come with conditions. What you do for someone cannot be based on WIIFM. You know that station. What's in it for me? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy, right? Love is not about getting only what you want. It truly comes from a servant's heart. Being one who says, you know what? Yeah, you made me mad a few moments ago. But I get it. You had a hard day. I'm extending forgiveness to you. You don't even have to tell your spouse that. You could just do it. Why? By showing with your words, with your actions, with your tone of voice, with your looks, how you hold your spouse. There's so many different ways. So you got to love graciously and unconditionally. And one of the things I look at here is that when we are the hands and feet of Jesus, right? God loves us unconditionally. He loves us and he's gracious to us, meaning he is forgiving. And he extends that mercy to us. It's not about saying, I told you I was right. And guess what? I'm going to be right tomorrow too. That attitude doesn't get you anywhere. We have to have respect in our marriage as much as we ask our children to have respect for us as parents. And I know that's hard because some of us come into a relationship saying, you're here to serve me. It doesn't work that way. Each of you are to serve each other. And it's not about balance. It's not a 50-50 partnership, meaning that your partner's not going to do 50% of the work and you're going to do 50% of the work. At times, you may be doing 70% of the work and your partner's doing 25.6%, and somehow there's some percentage missing there, but well, maybe the dog takes over. Now, I know you're laughing right now, but seriously, people go into marriage thinking that their relationship is all going to be based on, we got this, we're in it half and half. It's not that way. There's a lot of give and take. There's a lot of compassion, and there's a lot of compromise, but not in a way that belittles, but in a way that is gracious and unconditionally opens up the heart to your spouse. Because when you're willing to give unconditionally and love graciously, let me tell you, the love your spouse has for you will multiply. That's the result. And that builds a strong foundation in a marriage. So you got to love. Number two, optimize your actions. What you do for your spouse and how you do it matters. If you say you love your husband with a tone of disgust, do you think that is going to make him feel loved? Of course not. No way. Unfortunately, that's what happens a lot of the time when couples come together over dinner or in bed. One asks a question and the other one jumps down the throat. Tired or not, you want to optimize your actions to support your spouse. So are you giving? Are you one who says, hey, hon, what can I do for you? My husband came home the other night. I loved it. He just came over to me and said, hey, what can I do for you? It's been a long week, and it has been a long week. And I was like, wow. Yeah, go over there and stir that pot, please. It didn't seem like much, but I was doing three or four other things and I really didn't want to ruin the pasta. So optimize your actions to support your spouse. Number three, V, validate your spouse. This is where you let your spouse know that he is seen or heard, that she is seen and heard. No one feels love when the eyes and ears are closed. Because when you honor your spouse by seeing what they want you to see, right? Which means you have to be observant, you have to be watchful, you have to be aware, then your spouse feels appreciated. Who doesn't want that? Your goal is to elevate so you can validate. You always want to lift up your spouse. My husband had a lecture to give this week. And it was interesting. He came home and he said, "You won't believe this." He goes, "I got a lecture to give and I totally forgot about it." He goes, "So I'm working on this." And I said, "Okay, well, I'm finishing up dinner. How long will you be, or do you want me to wait till you're ready to have dinner before I finish it up?" And he goes, "No, you can go ahead. And then, you know, if I'm still working on it, you know, I'll have you bring it in here." And I said, "Okay, no problem." At that point, right, I walk away and I'm like, okay, he's had a long day. He forgot he had a lecture for whatever reason, doesn't matter. Wasn't on the calendar, or he didn't put it down, or someone didn't remind him, whatever the case may be. So he has to sit here and do a lecture. Not a big deal, but it's time consuming. He's already spent time away from home and he doesn't want to come home and do more work. And let me tell you, my husband works really, really hard. He's a caring and compassionate man. And that's one thing that he does very well. There's some other things. Well, that's for another episode. But so at that moment, when I knew he was a little bit stressed, not really, but he wanted to decompress, but now he still has more work to do. So what did I do? I went to serve him. What can I do to make your night easier? What can I do to help facilitate you getting this lecture written faster so you can decompress, chill out, and then eventually go to bed to start your day early tomorrow? Validate your spouse. Let them know how much promise you see in them, how awesome they are. Your spouse should not have to wait to receive an award or a trophy or some acknowledgement in a newspaper to know that they are awesome at what they do. You need to be telling them that. And I'm not saying you need to tell it every day, because then really, does it have any meaning? No. But there are different ways to say things. Like, let's say your spouse is an attorney. "Oh man, you're the best attorney ever, babe." Okay, that doesn't go well. It's like, really, seriously, can you put a little more thought into it? A little more feelings would be nice. How about, "Sweetheart, I see how hard you work, and I hope your clients appreciate you as much as I do. I see your drive to do what's right by your clients." Drop the mic. Yeah, that sounds so much better. And they then get to feel what? Elevated and validated. And that is where we need to come in. Because let me tell you, if you're not doing that and someone else is, there's trouble in the marriage. It's going to happen. I see it over and over again. So L, love. O, optimize. V, validate. And finally, number four, E, engage your spouse. I'm not saying put a ring on it, but if you aren't married, put a ring on it. But that too is for another episode. But here's where you show up in your spouse's life. You can't claim to be in a relationship if you're not available. However, understand this too. You're going to have seasons in life that might require you to be separated. Let's say military deployment, a mission trip. Maybe you need to advance your career, or they need to advance their career. And so maybe you have to go away for 3 weeks or 3 months. But when you engage your spouse, you are present. We are so busy. We are so caught up in our daggum Instagram feeds. I can't stand them. That could be a 2 month episode that would go on and on forever because it is addicting. And let me tell you, it can destroy marriages. Same with Facebook Reels. There are so many things that drag you away from your important relationships within your four walls. You're missing the mark if you're stuck on your phone, if you're stuck on your tablet or having fun on your laptop, wherever you're hanging out. But if you're not engaging your spouse, then you're going to have problems in the house. Just saying. But with that, let me tell you this. Early on in our marriage, my husband was and had actually a very, very long path to get to where he wanted to be. And I knew that. I knew going into it. I knew it before we got engaged. I knew it when we were dating. I was on a similar path. Mine changed a little bit because I became pregnant with our first child. And so I changed my direction. But in all of that, when he was in graduate school and he was going through his trainings and learning and all of that, there was a section where he had to do clinicals. And so for that, he chose, and actually it was we chose, that he would go away to have them, because if he stayed local, he wouldn't get as much experience. And I really wanted that for him. I wanted him to be the best at what he was going to do for the rest of his life. I wanted him to use his God-given talents and gifts to go out and impact the world that he touched. And that meant what? I had to sacrifice. Yes. So one of his clinicals, he was gone for 3 months straight. And guess what? I was a single married mom then. We had our new baby. The one that I said, you know, we got married. I didn't immediately get pregnant. But when we did get pregnant, he was in graduate school. We were not expecting a child, not planning for a child, but it was a blessed surprise. We would not change it for anything. But that changed my path, but we chose it not to change his path. And to this day, I'm fine with that. It's not something I look back on. It's not something I whine about. I don't have pity parties over it. But you see, what I did was there was a sacrifice. There was a season. But during that season, I made sure that he was still engaged. Do you know how many home videos I took of our baby girl? A lot. Because that was way before cell phones. You know the cell phones we had? It was like that big, huge, I don't know. It was like a brick. Well, we call it a brick. And it was. And he only used it for emergency purposes, which was only like twice. And that was it. And we paid a pretty penny for just that. But we needed to because he was traveling. You want to engage with your spouse. You want to be present in their life in every season as much as possible. Because when you give yourself the opportunity to love beyond even your previous experiences, because that's what happens, we love how we've been loved. And unless if you've had a perfect life prior than your marriage, then you have a lot to learn. And none of us have had that perfect life. And that's okay. That's why we're here. That's why we're learning. And I've had to take a lot of hard knocks, a lot of hard knocks. But that's why I want to share them with you, saying, you know what? You can build this strong foundation. And when you give yourself that opportunity to love beyond even your previous experiences, that's when your marriage explodes. You want to find each other every day. Did you hear that? You want to find your husband. You want to lean in and find your spouse, your wife, every day. Not when you feel like it, not when it's convenient, not when she or he meets your expectations. You need to say, I love you. Period. Don't put anything else to it. I love you. Period. So my challenge for you is, it's a two-part question. Where do you begin to love? Look at one letter, okay? It's love, optimize, validate, or engage. Which letter stands out to you initially? And go with your gut, your first instinct. What came to you? I want you to start there. And then what one action can you do for your spouse to support that particular movement, let's say, in that manner? What can you do to support? So if it's love, what can you do to love graciously and unconditionally? What does that look like? Optimize. And I want you to be specific. So maybe it's saying, you know what? I need to love unconditionally. I'm tired too at the end of the day, but I know my husband, he goes out and he works. And so when he comes through that door, I need to give him that time to decompress. What does that look like? And I want to honor that time. And then I want to be sure that I'm available at a certain time for him so the two of us can come together, right? Engage. So it kind of overlaps. When you love, let me tell you, it is going to magnify your marriage and it's going to draw you closer and closer together. That's what God wants for you. That's what I want for you. Go out, be present, be incredible, be you. I love you so very much. I cannot wait to see you on the other side. Blessings, hugs, and lots of love. We'll talk to you real soon. Have a glorious, blessed day. Bye-bye.
Feeling inspired, ready to train for life and love your journey? Visit createyournow.com for more incredible resources to help you along the way. We'll see you next time on Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. And remember, always be sure you consult your physician before beginning any health and fitness plan.